Well, tonight, keeping with the theme of the music, I want to speak to you on this subject, paid in full. Now, some things are not worth remembering. I mean, why should we remember past hurts, useless worries, petty insults, missed opportunities, or embarrassing moments? We have plenty of those in our repertoire, don't we? But why should we remember those things? They only take up space in our mind, and they cause us to be discouraged and depressed, and it diminishes our joy. Let these things go. Don't remember stuff you should forget. But let me say this. Always remember the stuff you should remember. Now listen, there are some important things in your life that you should remember. You should remember your spouse's birthday. You should remember your anniversary. You should remember holidays. For us as believers, there is one thing that God commands us to never forget. We should never, ever forget the death of Christ, the atoning death of Christ on the cross of Calvary for our sins. In the final moments of his life, the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross. Dehydration sucked the moisture from his body and left his throat as parched as a desert. He asked for something to drink. The soldiers raised a sponge full of sour wine to his lips. And John records for us, John the Apostle, who was at the cross, records for us what happened. In John chapter 19, verse 30, here's what John wrote. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. This shout of victory, "It is finished," echoed through the halls of heaven and the halls of hell. It left Satan and every demon trembling. It is three words in the English language, but it is one word in the Greek language. It is the word tetelestai. It literally means paid in full. I went to Dr. Steve Gaines' funeral recently, and this is one of his favorite words in the Bible. And they passed out these little bracelets with the word tetelestai on it. It is finished, paid in full. Now, Greek businessmen would use this word, they would stamp this word over a bill that somebody had paid in full. And earlier in his ministry, Jesus shared an important message that we need to remember tonight. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Now, God the Father required that Jesus pay the full price for your redemption. You could never be saved. You could never go to heaven had Jesus not gone to the cross of Calvary and died for your sins. Now, that price that Jesus paid included offering his body and his blood as the perfect sacrifice for our failures and our sins. On this Good Friday, we're here tonight to remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Sunday morning, we're going to celebrate something else. We're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, friend, he didn't stay in the grave. He came out of the grave on the third day. He's alive today. But tonight, on Good Friday, We're going to remember and glory in the cross of Christ. Now, the first aspect of our Lord's finished work that I'd like to point out to you is its anticipation. I want you to understand that Jesus' death on a cross did not catch him by surprise. He knew exactly what was going to happen. Do you know the Bible even says that Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world? Even before Adam and Eve were created, God knew exactly how he would redeem a fallen, sinful human race. The hope of sinners would rest on the death of the Son of God who would die in their place. Now, you will find the anticipation of his finished work in the prophetic scriptures. Joshua quoted some of those earlier in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 to 6. Listen to what Isaiah wrote. Now, I remind you that he wrote this around 700 years before Jesus was born. 700 years before he was born, Isaiah the prophet, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, recorded these words. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell on him. And by his scourging, we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. That's so true, isn't it? All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Listen to this. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him, on Jesus. 700 years before Jesus was incarnated into the human race, Isaiah wrote this graphic description of the crucifixion that Jesus would experience when he was 33 years of age. But I want you to know this anticipation of his finished work can not only be found in the prophetic scriptures, but they can also be found in the personal statements of Jesus himself. In John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." These are the words of God's perfect man and man's perfect God. And when you take these personal statements of Jesus and you combine them with the prophetic scriptures, you get a panoramic view of the anticipation of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to you, dear friend, the cross did not catch Jesus by surprise. He knew exactly why he was born. He knew exactly when it would happen, and he knew exactly what the outcome would be, and that's the salvation of those who would believe in him. Now, the second aspect of our Lord's finished work is its achievement. Its achievement. In the fullness of time, Jesus moved with authority, sovereign authority, to achieve his plan of redemption. We see that in the fact that the Savior was condemned. Our minds cannot begin to grasp the holiness of God. He cannot and he will not tolerate sin from you, from me, from anyone in the world. Yet the Bible says, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. We need a Savior. We need a Redeemer to forgive our sins and to give us the gift of eternal life and the forgiveness we desperately need. Now listen, I want you to see how God the Father arranged for the Lord Jesus to pay the penalty for our sins. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says, He made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's amazing. 1 Peter 2:24, Peter wrote, And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds we were healed. You were healed. Now that's amazing, isn't it? The Savior was condemned when he was sinless. And he was condemned because God the Father placed upon his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, all of our filthy and vile sins. And God poured out his wrath upon his Son on the cross, wrath that you and I deserve to experience for our own sins. But Jesus went to the cross and bore our sins and paid our penalty. He assumed our guilt. He died as our substitute. This was that awful, agonizing moment. I can't imagine what it must have been like for John and the Lord's mother who was there by the cross, Mary Magdalene and the other disciples. I can't imagine what it was like when they heard the Lord Jesus out of the darkness, because it turned dark from noon until 3 p.m. there outside of Jerusalem. And they heard this cry of Jesus pierce the darkness. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, Jesus became sin for us. And for the first time in all eternity, there was a separation between God the Father and God the Son. I can't imagine what that must have been like for Jesus. We think about his physical suffering. I'm not sure we think enough about his spiritual suffering when he was separated from God because of our sin. But I want you to know, yes, the Savior was condemned, but we also see here that sin was conquered. Sin was conquered. When Jesus shouted, "It is finished," it was not the whining of a loser who had given up. No, it was the shout of a winner, a conqueror who had just won the war against Satan and sin once and for all. He was saying, all of your sins have been paid for. Listen, if you're a born-again believer here tonight, I want you to know that every one of your sins, they're forgiven. They've been paid for with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that for all of eternity, you will never be condemned because of any sin you've ever committed. The Bible says in Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, I'll tell you, dear friend, Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. Everything that we owe, Jesus paid it. Having examined the anticipation of his finished work and the achievement of his finished work, I want to point out to you the third aspect of that finished work, and it's number three, is its affirmation. What did it affirm? What's the relevance of all this as it relates to our relationship with God the Creator? Well, you need to know that once our Lord's finished work was achieved, it resulted in two powerful affirmations. Here's the first one. God was satisfied. God was pleased. He accepted the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that we know with absolute certainty that God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus for our sins? You say, well, how do we know that for sure, Pastor? Well, we know it because God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. And it was a sure sign that God was satisfied with the sacrifice of his Son. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, The Bible says, but he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Now, you say, why does the scripture emphasize that he sat down at the right hand of God? Because his work was complete. He had finished what he had come to do, to seek and to save the lost, to provide a ransom for sinners so that they could be redeemed and forgiven of all their sins. Oh, I tell you, God accepted the blood of Jesus as full payment for our sins. But not only was God pleased, I want to show you that grace was provided. The unmerited favor of God is available to every person in the world who will repent of their sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, you don't know how bad I am. You don't know some of the junk I've done in my life. There's no way God can forgive me. Think about this. Think about the thief on the cross. Jesus was on the middle cross, and there was a thief on one side and a thief on the other side. And Jesus turned to one of those thieves who had been maligning him earlier, and that thief said to him, he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom, Lord. You know what Jesus said to him? He said to him, you haven't been baptized, you can't go to heaven. Right? He said to him, you've never been to church. You've never been to the synagogue. You can't go to heaven. Did he say that to him? No, he didn't. You know what Jesus said to him? Today, you will be with me in paradise. That's grace, my friend. And I tell you, the same grace that saved the thief on the cross, saved Chuck Herring when he was 20 years old. And if you're in here today and you say, Pastor, I am saved, I'm forgiven, I tell you, you are saved not because you're good, not because you're religious. You're saved by the grace of Almighty God. Oh, my goodness. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, listen to Paul's words. For the grace of God, grace means unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. The great grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope, and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Oh, I can't wait till he comes. Are you looking forward to his coming? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Now get this. As a result of our Lord's finished work on the cross, redemption and salvation is available to anyone who will turn from their sins and believe in Jesus and commit their lives to him. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe that's you. And you're ready. The Spirit of God brought you here tonight. You say, no, it didn't. Pastor, my wife drugged me here. No, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God used your wife to drag you here. But you're here because God wanted you to hear this wonderful music about the cross and hear this message about the death of Christ on your behalf. I tell you tonight, your old life can change. It'll affect you, it'll affect your family, it'll affect the people you work around, it'll affect everything in your life. I'll tell you, if you'll repent of your sin and receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord by faith, you will find it to be the greatest blessing you've ever experienced in your life. So let me ask you tonight, will you turn from your sins and commit your life to Jesus? He's done everything necessary to save you. He's paid it all. It's paid in full. There's nothing left for you to do. It's simply turn and place your faith in Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. Now, tonight, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. So I'm going to ask our worship team to come. I'm going to ask our staff to come. And we're going to have an invitation. We're going to invite you to make that decision tonight. I want you to do this. In a minute, we're going to stand and we're going to worship. And when we start worshiping, if you want to give your heart to Jesus, you come to one of these staff members and you just tell them that tonight, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior and Lord. I'll tell you, He'll forgive you. He changed my life. If He can change my life, He can change your life. But if you're here tonight and you are a believer, are you living the kind of life that honors your Savior? Are you living in obedience to Him? Do you love Him more than anybody or anything on this planet? Are you seeking to please Him each and every day? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Are you abiding in Him? Can I tell you this? If you're a born-again believer, because of what He's done for you, He deserves your very best. So if you're a believer and you want to come to this altar and just ask Jesus to do a fresh work in your heart, you come. Just come. Bow here and pray and ask Him to do it. Or maybe there's a sin in your life and you need to get victory over that sin. Come and ask the Lord to give you victory. He'll give you victory.